Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I came to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth. Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth.
You may be seated. Sometimes being in Jesus' classroom, so to speak, is encouraging and gives us hope. Like last week, when the passage that we focused on here had reassuring words like, do not worry and do not be afraid. Now, we realize that these are easier said than done, but those words nonetheless are encouraging for us to read and to remember and to focus on. Sometimes, though, being in Jesus' classroom can be kind of a downer. Like, I must admit, spending time with today's scripture can be at first glance. But if we get through it, I think we'll see that the challenges offered to us here are just the sorts of challenges that can take us to the next level in our faith if we accept them. Here in this very strongly worded passage, we have the Messiah, God incarnate, talking about bringing fire to the earth, about bringing division, and division that is very personal, division that reaches right into households, division created among families. Now, isn't this the Prince of Peace that is supposed to be speaking to us? What is going on here? Well, there's a little clue in this passage where we hear Jesus mention that he has a baptism he must undergo, and he's under stress until it is completed. By this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is very close to turning his face toward Jerusalem, where he will face betrayal, arrest, abandonment, trial, crucifixion. He knows very well that the message that he brings is not one that assures smooth sailing, easygoing, peace, and goodwill among all humankind. Jesus' family, you see, would be the very first to suffer the terrible effects of this division that Jesus' message could bring. When Jesus says he is bringing fire to the earth, not peace, does that mean that we are doomed to an existence of division? Believers on one side versus non-believers on the other in a battle to the end. Some of your family members fighting alongside of you and some fighting against you. Is this really what Jesus wants? What God wants? What the Holy Spirit wants? I don't believe so. I believe New Testament professor Audrey West's assertion that this passage is perhaps best viewed not as being prescriptive, but rather is descriptive. That is, West writes, it is not Jesus' purpose to set children against their parents or parents against their children, but this is the sort of rupture that can be the result of the changes in people's lives engendered by them following Christ. Think about it this way. When we become believers, when we truly commit ourselves to Jesus, to being the best disciples we can, to following as closely as we can in his footsteps, it impacts everything in our lives. Our goals, our priorities, our values, how we spend our time, our money. And sometimes when those things change, it changes relationships we have. Sometimes when these things change, it makes certain relationships impossible, or at the very least, improbable. Now, I titled today's sermon the Venn Diagram Challenge because that is exactly how I feel best visualizes this message here. How many of you are familiar with Venn diagrams? Okay. Well, a Venn diagram is a way to visually arrange items so that you can understand how they relate to one another. So in their simplest forms, there are two circles and they overlap somewhat. Each circle represents a particular set of objects or characteristics, and where those two circles overlap, those are things that are in both sets. An example is probably the best way to explain this, since I don't have the visuals in this service. So picture a circle that has the names of all two-legged animals. And picture another circle that has the names of animals who can fly. Now these two circles overlap in the area where animals that can both fly and are two-legged reside, right? So with that in mind, I see the first part of today's scripture describing how the world actually is. Again, not how I think God is saying it has to be, but how it actually is. So there's a circle with all humans who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and whose lives are shaped by that belief. And there's this other circle that contains all of the humans who are our friends and our family and our coworkers and people we don't even know. And these circles overlap in some places, but they're not entirely the same. Not everyone is a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. But before we get too cocky, envisioning ourselves in that righteous circle, remember this: God wants to see all of his children in that same circle. All of our friends, all of our family members, all of our coworkers, people who are strangers. Even the strangers or friends or family members or coworkers who we don't approve of the way that they are living their lives. God wants them all. He wants us all in the same circle. And furthermore, this scripture brings to mind another Venn diagram we could draw. We can visualize our lives and how we live it, all the characteristics of that and what it means in one circle. And then we can visualize a circle filled with how we are called to lead our lives as followers of Christ. This scripture challenges us to ask ourselves, where do these two not overlap? Why? Where do we need to submit more of ourselves to Christ that they might become more fully one? Now, this challenge is not aimed at making a bunch of self-righteous Pharisees out of us. It is not saying that divisions among any of us are good. It is telling the hard truth that following Christ has implications for every aspect of our lives. It is a fire. It is a refining fire. It is a Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, fire. But that's not all that we see in today's passage. There are still more challenges in these words this morning. You see there in verse 54, Jesus starts talking about the weather. Seems a little odd, but it would have really spoken powerfully to the people there with him that day. At least some of the people in that crowd would have been farmers, people whose livelihoods depended on the weather. They would have depended on when it was going to rain and when it was going to be sunshiny. They would have been very adept at reading the smallest signs around them to forecast the weather. And yet, what Jesus is saying here is that they are guilty of missing the earth-shaking kingdom of God that he is announcing. The kingdom of God that is breaking into their lives in ways that they should not be missing. Are they intentionally missing the forest for the trees? Are they focusing on the mundane and missing the eternal? Now, we might be tempted here today to say, but Jesus, we're in church today. We clearly are not missing you. We see you. We believe in you. We are following you. But again, let's make another Venn diagram in our minds. One circle has in it all the things that we pay very close attention to. What kind of things are in there for you? How many of you have the stock market in your mind after a week like this one? Your bank account. How about other things that mark our status in this world? The titles that we carry for our students, our GPAs and honor societies. How about our homes and our cars and our children and our family and how they reflect on us? But how about as a church? What is in the circle of what we pay close attention to? How the sanctuary looks? How good the preaching is? How good the music is? How much money we collect every week? How many people are in attendance? Lots and lots of things we as individuals and as a church pay close attention to. Now I want you to think about another circle. I want you to think about what God is calling us to pay close attention to. What does God want us not to miss? What's in there? What's in God's circle? Is our relationship with God that we are nurturing in prayer and in meditation and reading scripture and being in worship, is that in there? What about the health of our relationships, not just how they reflect on us? How about the health of our marriages, of our children, of our relationships with family and friends and coworkers? How about what it is that we are doing for our neighbor in love? And how about as a church? What does God want us to be paying close attention to? How about how well we disciple those who walk through the doors of this church? How about how we serve those who have not? Now, how do these two circles overlap? What we pay close attention to and what God wants us not to miss. When we undertake this challenge, are we living as individuals and as a church such that we are not focused so much on the insignificant that we jeopardize that which is of greatest importance? There's a lot of extra credit to be earned here in these harsh and difficult words from Jesus if we are ready to take the challenges there. And my prayer is that we are all ready to see our own lives transformed more and more and more each and every day, such that the Venn diagrams in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones and in the lives of our community will become more and more one with the circle of eternal life we find in our triune God. May it be so In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thank you for that grace that you have given us, that we are in any way a reflection of Christ in our lives. This is not discouraging to us that we are not completely like him, but it is something to look forward to, a hope that you will mold us continually to live this life eternally. And that in so doing, we would encompass more and more of your people into life with you. Empower us, Lord. Use us, Lord, to speak to the spirit that is within those we meet this week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.